Welcome to Gospel Central, where we discuss topics that will encourage Christians to live their lives in a way that is pleasing to God. We are specifically interested to know how the very center of the Christian faith, that is the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, empowers us to live these lives that are zealous for God and pleasing to Him. I'm your host today, I'm Ed, and we are so glad that you can join us today. And we do have a guest with us today, that is Z, my good friend. He's currently the pastor of One Covenant Church, and I've known Z as a dear brother for 24 years, this year, October counting. And we've gone through a lot together, and we have known each other very well. One of my best friends, really. But he's here today to share with us a bit of his journey as a church planter, but also to share some of our life stories together with you who are listening. So Z, why don't I tell the listeners, like, how did we meet?
Thanks, Edward. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, my name is Z. I'm the pastor of One Covenant Church. We planted the church about 4 years ago. But I met Edward in 1997 during our first year in university. We both went to Imperial College in London. And we met on the first night where we were all moving into the student accommodation. It was Linstead Hall. There was a fire alarm because apparently someone was smoking in the
cannabis
rooms or something. Probably like smoking pot or something. And everyone had to vacate their rooms and head downstairs. So I met Edward. You know, he looked a bit like me. And so we started a conversation that eventually blossomed into a friendship and you know, a really encouraging friendship, you know. And as Edward mentioned, he's one of my dearest friends, a real encouragement in the Lord, someone that has really stood by me all these years. Yeah.
So share with us about your church planting journey. You went to a Presbyterian Theological College.
Yeah, I did.
And over there, you developed a Presbyterian convictions. So, is it all about just planting a Presbyterian church? Is that what's really on your heart?
I would say not really, because I think my church planting journey began even before I came to Presbyterian convictions. You know, as some of the listeners will know, I was a pastor for 3 years at Redemption Hill Church. You know, so I got to know Simon Murphy, pastor of Redemption Hill Church. And in the early days of the church, you know, I was one of the first pastors they hired. I think the first, right, after Simon.
I think so.
And yeah, I really kind of cut
my
teeth.
One of the first elders as well.
I think one of the first elders, yeah. One of cut my teeth, you know, doing ministry at Redemption Hill Church. And I still remember, you know, like after a few years of ministry, you know, doing different things, having a conversation with Simon, he was kind of asking me, you know, Z, what's next? You know, what's next in ministry? You know, and I think even at that point in time, before I went to seminary, I said, yeah, you know, at some point, Simon, you know, I'd like to either plant a church or lead my own church, you know. So I didn't really know what I was talking about. But I think there was already that desire in my heart. So I always tell people, you know, I think the desire was there, the intention was there, but the actual plan was not quite there. So I kind of knew at some point I'll plant a church. But I think what I didn't expect is to plant a Presbyterian church, you know. And so, as you mentioned, I went to seminary, wanted to get trained, wanted to understand a bit more about how to be effective as a pastor, how to care for people, how to shepherd God's people, and quite unwillingly, you know, came to Presbyterian convictions, you know. So when I came back and we were trying to figure out what to do, we explored different options, but we really do sense that the Lord was leading us, me and Cindy, to plant this church. Yeah, so that's kind of how we started off on our church planting journey.
But I mean, just to move back in time a little bit more, right? You were at one time, you're working with Accenture, I remember, at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, you were a civil servant for a long time.
Yeah.
Actually, what even motivated you to go into vocational ministry?
I think during my time at Imperial College in London, you know, both of us, we were very involved in the Christian Fellowship and some of the local churches there. And I think one thing that they modeled well for us was handling the Bible. So whether it was expository preaching, where people would be preaching through books of the Bible, applying it, or just doing Bible study, somehow it had a real impact on me. You know, listening to some of these preachers doing something in some ways unremarkable, right? They were opening the scriptures, explaining what it meant, and applying it to our hearts and applying it to our lives. But somehow that changed me. So I think even when I was in university, I began to develop a desire to serve God in this way. I even journaled about it, you know, a few months before coming back to Singapore in the year 2000, you know. But it was just something that I kind of kept at the back of my mind.
Right.
You know, I felt that coming back here, I should get some work experience, be plugged into a local church. And yeah, thanks be to God, you know, 10 years later, the opportunity opened up to actually go into ministry. Yeah. So I think it went back far, you know, like much earlier than I can remember, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So how many years have One Covenant been planted by now?
Well, we started meeting in my living room in 2016. I always say we started with four people. Myself, Cindy, Caitlin, and Carissa. You know, that's right. My family.
All Presbyterian. Just the family.
Yeah, the family, you know. And we started with a prayer meeting. And then we launched public worship in April of 2017. Even that was kind of providential because we were growing to about 20, 25 people. You know, it was getting a bit scary to meet in my living room, which is not very big. And then someone offered us a place to meet. And we just take a love offering from us. So we started meeting on Sunday afternoon at this place at Red Hill from April 2017. You know, yeah. And then we moved to morning services in July of 2017. So it's about 4 years or so. Yeah, just about four years. Yeah, I think we started work on it a bit more than 4 years ago. But in terms of the public launch, it would have been about, it would be 4 years in April of this year, 2021. Yeah, so 4 years.
So what kind of vision, I guess, do you have for One Covenant Church? Or, you know, what kind of church would you expect it to be, and have things gone your way?
You know, in some ways, when I started, I said, you know, I don't want to be very fancy. You know, I just want to do what's faithful to scripture, you know, preach the gospel, see people saved, make disciples, you know, organize the church around the word of God, you know. But yeah, more specifically, maybe we really do believe, you know, much like Redemption Hill, that the gospel changes everything.
Right.
So if there's anything that would be kind of like characteristic or fundamental about the church, is that, you know, the gospel is a matter of first importance. It's the center and the heart of our ministry, and everything that we do is birthed out of the gospel. So as a vision, we try to capture that. We talk about people being converted. Communities being united and society being enhanced by the gospel. So the gospel calls people into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Through the gospel, Jesus announces to us that our sins have been paid for and that through faith in him, we can be reconciled to God. So people converted from darkness to light, you know, from death to life, from themselves to Jesus. But then God doesn't just save individuals. He saves people and puts them into families called the church. So we talk about community united because God is bringing together people from different backgrounds. And he is bringing them together in the local church. Finally, you know, society enhanced, because we really believe that as we live out the implications of the gospel, we will be salt and light in this dark world. And God will use us to shine a light for his kingdom and the gospel in the world. So, you know, it's a pretty basic vision. We believe in the gospel, we preach the gospel, we allow the gospel to change our lives, and we live it out, and we see the world changed through that. Yeah.
So if I'm someone who's interested to attend One Covenant Church, right? What would I expect on a regular Sunday when I show up in your church?
Well, you expect people. Now, because of COVID, wearing masks. But yeah, people, you know, a big part of church is about people,
right?
You expect imperfect people, in fact, broken and sinful people, people much like you, you know, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. But the people who sense in our hearts how undone we are and how much we need God's grace,
right?
And how gracious God is. You know, so when we come together, we worship in song, in prayer, We hear God's word and we celebrate what we call the sacraments, you know, of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And it all points to how gracious and kind God is to us. You know, so in everything that we do, we're shaped by the good news of Jesus Christ. You know? So when we're called to worship through a psalm, it's the holy God who we have no right to approach, calling us into his presence. When we confess our sins, it's when we recognize that the only way we can come to this holy God is if he first takes action in our lives and changes us. And he has done that through Christ. And then he assures us of his pardon. And then he summons us and he speaks to us through his word. And then he sends us out into the world to do his will. So, you know, we would say that the what you encounter when you come in is a broken people who have encountered a gracious God. And we want to put that on display, not in a fake way, but in an authentic way. Yeah, so that's what you encounter on a Sunday morning. Yeah.
I just love the way that how he started by talking about his people and broken people that you actually encounter, right, when you come on a Sunday. How do you actually help your the people who come to your church to flesh that out in terms of, you know, that coming to church is not just, it's not actually in the end just only attending the Sunday service, right? It's actually being part of the community.
That's right, yeah. In fact, that's something that we had to fight for, you know, because I think a lot of Christians in Singapore, maybe around the world, they see church in some sense more like just like a service provider. You know, I go there, I get my fix of songs, you know, then I get a sermon. And we consume that, not realizing that that is, you know, maybe only 20%, a very important 20%, but only 20% of what the Christian life is, you know. And just really kind of encouraging people to see that the only way that the gospel can be worked out in your life, the only way that you can really see change in your life is to see the rubber meet the road. And the rubber meets the road when you are actually in friendship and in fellowship and in contact with other sinful people like yourself, you know. So I can't remember who it was who said, you know, all of us think we're very patient, you know, until we encounter situations where our patience is tested, then we really see our hearts, you know. So I think it's something that we've had to fight for, we've had to model, and we've had to show, hey, yeah, you know, as Christians, we are imperfect, we offend people, we get offended, we hurt people, we get hurt. But the gospel really is a resource that enables us to not just reconcile, but love those that are different from us, that have opposed us. Yeah. So it's something we model, something we experience, and something we really have to encourage our people toward. Yeah.
So when you look back all these 4 years, what were some of the challenges that you have actually encountered? I'm sure it's... easy for you, right? Yeah. For a man of your caliber.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest challenge would be myself. You know, one of my church planting coach, Gary Watanabe, you know, in the early days, he said to me, you know, just as you're seeking to plant this church, God is seeking to plant his gospel deep in your heart. And I think that's true. You know, if you're really serious about the gospel, then we know that we're all people who are in process, who are being made holy and being conformed to the image of Christ. So you will not get a perfect church planter. You'll not get a perfect pastor. You will not get perfect leaders, you know. And that's what I encountered, you know. You deal with your pride, you know, you deal with your control, you deal with your comfort, you deal with all of these things, you know. So I would say, yeah, you know, suddenly it became very glaring to me who I was, and even some of the motives for planting the church, you know. It wasn't always about, oh, seeing the glory of Christ. Yeah, you can say that, right? But deep inside, sometimes it's about me. It's about trying to prove that I'm somebody, right? And I'm worth listening to,
right?
And I'm significant. And yeah, you get into a lot of problems when that happens. So I'd say that's one of the challenges. The other challenge is really people. Yeah, I think, you know, you really need to take time to get to know people. And as you journey together, really figure out, you know, whether, yeah, this church is for them, and whether it serves them well or not, you know. So especially people who want to serve together with you, you know, when you start a church, I think people are eager. They want to come alongside. But they may actually, and they may not be conscious about it, but both of you may actually have very different visions of what church is,
right?
Unarticulated, you know. So, yeah, one a guy on my provisional session, you know, the leadership team that has helped us, you know, he said in some ways you have to use the analogy of dating, ministry dating.
Okay.
You know, so in the early days, I think, yeah, there's some dating going on, right? Where you have to figure out, hey, is this a good fit? You know, but that can also be painful for the church planter, you know, because people are dating you.
Right.
You know, so they may date you for 6 months, a year, and then at the end of it, say, sorry, you know, this is not going to work out. Goodbye. So it feels very personal. But, you know, maybe what I should have done then is really to take a step back and say, this is actually healthy. Right. This is not really, it's not an affront on me. It's just that there's no good fit, you know. And I think over time, we've begun to see that we need to be true to our convictions, true to who we are, be consistent in that way. People will join us if they are also similarly convicted, you know, desire a similar type of church, but then others will not be. And we don't always need to go out of our way to bend ourselves to accommodate anything and everything. You know, of course, we want to be as accommodating as we can be. But I like to say, you know, you don't go to McDonald's to order chicken rice. You know, you know what McDonald's serves, and you go to McDonald's to get a Big Mac, right? So you know who we are. And if you're interested in something else, then, you know, we just have to know that we may not necessarily be able to give that to you.
I'm sure that One Covenant is more like a fine dining restaurant where they serve quality food. McDonald's that serves just Big Macs. But I think when I listen to you, I think a question that comes to my mind is that there seems to be a tension, right, between fruitfulness and faithfulness in ministry, right? And I think that's probably particularly challenging for church planters, right? Because part of the motivation to plant is actually to see fruits.
It
can be very discouraging to be laboring for a long time.
That's
and
right, yeah.
Not actually seeing fruits.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
yet, there is some tension between fruitfulness and faithfulness. Right? Would you want to like speak to that?
Yeah, you know, and I think fruitfulness is important. You know, Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, you know. So I think there are two extremes. There's one extreme where, you know, being faithful means that our church is as small as possible, you know, because we are the frozen chosen and everyone else is wrong. So the smaller we are, the more faithful we are. And I think, to be frank, I think that's contrary to scripture, you know, because there's a huge vision in scripture. Jesus calls us to go to the nations of the world, to preach the gospel, to baptize, to gather people into the church, you know, and to teach them to obey everything that is commanded. So it's a broad vision, but it's also a deep vision. So I think, you know, just saying we're faithful, but, you know, there are no conversions, there's no growth in discipleship, I think that would be kind of truncating the biblical vision for church. On the other hand, I think we have to be guided by scripture in defining what fruitfulness is, right? And I think a lot of times in the church, we've probably used a lot of secular matrices to measure fruitfulness. You know, we kind of baptize it in that kind of Christian language. You know, so you talk about the budget, how big it is. Talk about the people, how many people are there. You talk about your assets. You know, and that may not necessarily be the right measure. So I think we really have to go back to scripture and allow theology to help us understand what fruitfulness is. You know, so I think, yes, you know, fruitfulness means that people are coming to faith, you know, whether in large numbers or small numbers, people are coming to faith. The word of God and the gospel of God is being faithfully preached. And to be faithful means that, it's true to the word, but it's also communicating to the audience in a way that makes it, you know, that they can understand.
So not only just getting it right, but also getting it across.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know who said that, but sounds good. Yeah. And it's important for us to work on that, you know, and that too is faithfulness, right? Because, even if I wanted to offend you, right, you need to understand the words coming out of my mouth. So if we're speaking in an archaic way that our culture doesn't understand, we're not really being faithful. You know, we're just being archaic. So I think, so if you see that, you know, and are the lives of your people being deepened in the gospel? Do you see people growing prayerfully? Do you see them repenting of sin? Do you see relationships forming that would never otherwise have been formed? Do you see people resolving conflict in a biblical way? So I think all of these are measures of fruitfulness, are from the scriptures. And hey, if you get more assets, praise the Lord. If the budget grows, praise the Lord. But those are enablers. Those are not the measure of fruitfulness.
Key indicators.
Yeah.
Well, but just to ask, which is like, you guys started with four in the living room. You started your first service when you're 20 plus folks. How has God blessed you over all these years? And now, how, what's the gathering like? At One Covenant right now.
Yeah, so in September of last year, by God's grace, we managed to move to a new facility in Funan Mall. We are at a co-working space called Tree House on the seventh floor. So I get some co-working space on the weekdays together with two of my staff. And then on the weekends, we use the events hall for worship. We've been averaging, you know, people showing up about 90 to 100.
Wow.
Or more, actually, every Sunday. And then another 60 or so who are Zooming in via live stream. You know, so COVID has been challenging for us. You know, the numbers dropped. Some people are still staying away. But, you know, it's also been a blessing for us, you know, in this season. You know, we were kind of outgrowing our space in Redhill. The numbers were growing. The lease was coming up. And just, you know, by God's providence, He opened this door for us to go to Treehouse. So we've really seen that blessing.
You actually have an amazing story about how you got the current location you have at Funan, right?
Yeah.
Would you want to share the story?
Yeah. So, well, in about January, February of 2020, you know, our lease was up in August. So we started looking. And, you know, if you know Singapore's property market, it's very difficult for churches to find a place to meet. So we're scanning around. And we found, oh, wow, there's a co-working space here at Funan, and it's a great spot. And then we realized, oh, we actually know one of the co-owners. So we contacted her, and we shared, you know, who we were and all that. And they said, oh, yeah, there's actually already a church meeting there. Their lease is up in August, which is exactly the time that our lease was up. But they have first kind of like, you know, preferential treatment, you know, in terms of whether to renew the lease. So we asked for the figures, and the figures they gave us was like, wow, you know, we just couldn't afford it. Way off the charts. It was about 30-40% more than what we could afford, right? So we took it back to the church, and we decided, you know, the board of directors, you know, I've got some guys who are helping me with the admin and the finance, the board of directors. We said, okay, let's look at the figures, and let's come up with a figure that we are comfortable right, with offering. It's a bit of a stretch, more than what we're paying for now, but something that is responsible. So I looked at the figure and I'm like, no, man, it's just not what, you know, they would accept. But then we said, okay, let's just pray about it and let's just see how the Lord will lead us.
Right.
Yeah. So we really were not expecting to move to Treehouse. We really thought we have to just go back to square one, search for another place or work in some way to stay at our current location. But then we offered this, and the person on the other side, you know, she said, wow, I think this is answered prayer. Because what we didn't know was, because of COVID, the other church had serve notice that they're not renewing. And because of COVID, a lot of the numbers, you know, had changed. You know, so they were actually happy to accept our offer.
Wow.
You know, and the timing was perfect. The other church was moving out in August. Our lease was ending in August. So we moved in, you know, and there were challenges along the way. Big challenges, of course, circuit breaker, you know. And so when we actually signed the lease with this co-working space, I don't even remember this. I was reminded of this by the owner. When we signed the lease, I think the government still didn't allow us to have gatherings of more than 30.
Right.
I think they allowed you to do live streaming.
That's right.
But no gatherings
with
of 30,
30 in attendance. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of said by faith we'll sign it. And very soon, church opened up for 50.
Right.
So we had a few services of up to 50 at our previous location. And then we moved to Treehouse at Funan, and we started having services for 50. And 1 month after we moved in, the government said you can have now services for 100. And so we split into two zones, and we've been having services for 100. So kind of looking back, the timing was just perfect.
Right.
You know, and we were like, yeah, you know, it's kind of understood in hindsight, because we really were not kind of planning it that way. We're just taking steps. Yeah.
God has provided. in every way, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Location, finance, and even timing.
People as well. You know, it's been amazing.
It's really like an evidence of the faithfulness of God.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's just beyond what we expected. And it's just the timing of God. You know, it comes at just the right time so that we have to trust Him. Of course, we plan. We use our minds, we use our hearts to, but he supplies. And as a result, you know, the glory goes to Him. Yeah.
I think it's very, very encouraging to hear, especially for someone like me who is thinking about planting a Chinese church at some point. Looking at that with some fear and trepidation. There's a lot of uncertainty, right? When you think about actually planting. Maybe as we close, what kind of advice would you have for aspiring church planters?
I would say, you know, get a lot of input from your church, your elders, about what you should be doing. You know, seek out wise people. Seek out people who have gone ahead, who love you, who know you, to speak frankly into your life. Pray. You know, get into the scriptures, pray, seek God. You will grow in prayer if you plant a church, because you really have to depend on God, you know. The uncertainty is overwhelming if you don't. But the third thing, I think, and this is something I learned from watching a Korean drama. So I saw this Korean drama recently called Startup, you know, and it's about startups. You know? So this one particular episode where, you know, the three programmers, you know, they had gone to Silicon Valley, they were very well trained, they came back and they wanted to start their own company.
Right.
You know, but they were very keen programmers. So they were seeking advice on whether or not they should start the company. So they approached the mentor, you know, Han Ji-pyeong. He said, should we start a company? And his advice was actually quite useful, I found. He said, what are you really passionate about? Are you passionate about programming? Or are you passionate about starting something of your own and running a company? So because that will determine whether you should start a new company or join an existing company to do what you're good at, you know. So eventually they realized that what they were really passionate about was programming, not starting and running a company. And so they actually joined another company. And, in you know, not exactly an equivalent, but I think you really need to ask that question of yourself. Why are you seeking to plant this church? You know, what are you passionate about? And it's not a secular thing. It's really asking, you know, how has God formed you as a person? Even your affinities, your passions, you know. And I have to say, you know, primarily, yes, I think I see myself as a preacher. But I gain a lot of joy, you know, even in the pain of pioneering something new.
Right.
And kind of taking control, not taking control, of leading something. Yeah. So I think you have to ask yourself that question, you know, what is your primary passion, you know, and if it's something else other than, you know, pioneering something new, depending on God, go and pursue that, you know, go and pursue that. Because there are great opportunities, you know. I think sometimes in some of our circles, church planting has been kind of put on a pedestal. You know, it's kind of like the pinnacle of ministry, but it doesn't have to be. You know, there are other faithful gospel ministries that are out there, you know, joining an existing church, revitalizing a church, pioneering a congregation. These are all also very, very good and godly options. So yeah, that's what I would say, you know, pray, seek input, and think about what your passions are. You know, what are you really, really passionate about? And then go for it. Oh, and take risks. Yeah, you have to take risks, you know. So Pastor Wong Fong Yang, CDBC KL, many years ago, he said something at a conference that really impacted me. You know, he was really encouraging people, young people, to take risks, go and plant churches. And he said, yeah, some of you will fall flat on your face, you know. And he says, but it's okay. If you fall flat, you fall flat at the feet of Jesus. You know, so I would say that too. Be willing to take risks. Don't wait for all your ducks to be lined up. You know, just go. And if you fall flat, you fall flat, and it's okay. Yeah.
Sounds really encouraging. It's like what I can take away from this is that your prayer life will grow. You need to know yourself in terms of what really motivates you, and you really have to have that kind of attitude that's willing to take risk for the sake of Jesus.
Yeah. And watch Korean dramas. They are helpful. Yeah,
yeah. Watching Korean dramas is actually a great way to train up our future Pledges Panthers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks for your time, bro.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
For joining us for this episode of Gospel Central. I hope you enjoyed it and we'll see you again.
I did. Next time. Thank you so much.